Guys, are you ready to heat things up this Christmas? Go with a win-win this year. Something that'll make her feel hot and heat up your holiday too. How? Super warm, world-famous hoodie footy from our friends at Pajamagram. The hoodie footy is the ultimate solution to get her hot when she's freezing cold. It combines the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. She's going to love it. Go to pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10 and you'll save $10 on adult-size hoodie footies when you use that promo code SAVE10. That's pajamagram.com. SAVE10. Tell them AJ Hoffman sent you.
The opinions of Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Garrett Cole, congrats to him. I know Astros fan isn't thrilled about it, but
we've said
Astros
all along
were never paying that kind of money ever.
Nor should they, because they can't afford that mistake.
No.
The Yankees can afford to make a mistake like that if it doesn't work out.
They've done it before.
Yeah, and that's just one of the advantages of being the Yankees, is you can money whip things to death. And really, even the Angels have made mistakes like that too.
Yep.
But if you're the Astros, you can't.
Listen, when a move like this happens, suddenly Astro fan is everybody's a GM.
Right.
Everybody wants to trade Zach Greinke. They want to trade Carlos Correa. They want to trade basically everyone. Oh, obviously Josh Reddick. And they want players that are going to get them back on the level of the Yankees now.
Yeah.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on the Blitz Facebook page. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. Or you can watch us on the Twitch channel, put your comments in the chat. It's all good. Hour number three on a What Are the Odds Wednesday. If you missed the first 2 hours, that's some of what you missed. And a lot of sportsy, a lot of non-sportsy talk.
Yeah. You know?
Where do we go now is the question.
Where to? It's a good question. We talked our share of Garrett Cole.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're good on that.
I'm good on, I like that there's all these signings happening now. Like, the Strasburg deal's done. The Cole deal's done. I would expect the Rendon deal to happen any day now. It'd be nice if there was some Astros buzz, that they were looking at anybody.
Yeah, but they'll do some under-the-radar stuff. I mean, they'll look for a Wade Miley type, and they'll sign somebody. People didn't get all excited about Michael Brantley, but that was a damn good signing.
Yeah, it turned out to be pretty solid.
So I look, I think they'll do something, but it won't be the big splash. It's not going to be, they're going to go out and sign fill in the blank for a whole bunch of money. It'll be somebody they can get for $4 or $5 million a year, or that they have team control over, and that'll be that.
The Rockets play the Cavs tonight, so they don't really play. But apparently the sportingnews.com put out the Rockets are all in on their championship chase, but they are limited in terms of roster construction, obviously. That means that Daryl Morey must always be on the lookout for solid players on manageable contracts. And it says here that he would be interested in going after Robert Covington before the deadline.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Minnesota, did we?
Yeah.
And apparently,
because remember, somehow they have two number one picks still.
Yeah, and they're pushing for it now. This story just came in 3 hours ago that apparently talks are moving forward. So you may be, I don't know where you heard it from the first time. What website was it from?
I don't remember. It's one of the websites. I have about 10 that I pulled closer from. So it might have been. It was either Larry Brown or it was for the win. I'm not sure.
When are people just going to stop giving players to the Rockets for a random, a draft pick that's never going to be any good?
I don't know, but let them do it.
I guess so.
I think that'd be a really good addition for him.
I do too. I like him because he plays defense.
Yeah, they could use interesting. They could use somebody like that.
But that would plus, change things up.
Solid 3-point shooter, not great, but not
it
awful.
Doesn't shoot a whole bunch.
Yeah, just he's efficient. Can make his free throws. Pretty well rounded player.
I say doesn't shoot a whole bunch. He shoots like 5.5 per game, which I guess on
the Rockets he'll shoot more than that.
But yeah, but there's also apparently a lot of teams interested in him.
Yeah, well, they should be.
And the Rock, I mean, people are going to. There are probably teams who have better assets to give up than the Rockets do. More than likely. So I'm sure tomorrow we'll either be. We won't talk about the Rockets if they beat the Cavs because they were supposed to.
Yeah.
And if they lose, we'll be like, what the hell's going on? And then we'll say, well, maybe it's too early to make any judgments. I also saw a story today. You tell me if you want me to go any further after I read you the headline. Rockets' James Harden is one of the NBA's best defenders statistically, but should we trust the numbers?
Okay.
This is from CBS Sports. And it says that, I mean, obviously the bugaboo with James Harden the last several years, people have said, is his defense. Twitter specifically is hard on him about that. But it says, as of this writing, he was allowing 0.727 points per possession as a primary defender this season, which is good for second in the entire NBA for players who have logged at least 200 defensive possessions. So, it says the initial reaction is obvious. There must be something wrong with the stats. Yes, it's true that advanced statistics can sometimes be misleading and always need to be taken in context. But if you look at the names around him, it's clear that this figure, opponent's points per possession, has done a fairly accurate job of labeling players who are generally considered to be good defenders. Here's a look at the top statistical defenders in the league. Wesley Matthews, number 1. James Harden, number 2. Giannis, number 3. Jason Tatum, 4. Bam Adebayo, 5. Mark Gasol, 6. I mean, these are guys who are... Jimmy Butler's 9th. Guys who are respected defenders in the league. Last season, the same list included Derek Favors, Pascal Siakam, and Miles Turner. So, there's a lot of good defenders on this list. And people always talk about James Harden's post defense being elite, and which maybe it is for a guy who's never defending in the post, really. But this is where I start to question advanced analytics. Because if you watch games, you feel like James still has his problems on defense and often just doesn't play defense. So that it made me wonder, like, maybe is calling him the primary ball defender, like, does he have to be more involved to be considered the primary ball defender? Or are we seeing a change in James Harden? At least the statistics say so.
Well, first off, I think the whole James Harden doesn't play defense narrative has been overstated for a while now. He had a really crappy year, I think, 3 years ago. Defensively, he's been a lot better since then, but do I think he's elite? No, I think he's, you know, and I know the numbers are saying that, but to me, he's an average defender, which is really what you need from him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's nearly as bad as the people who say he sucks. I don't think he's nearly as good as that's telling you.
It says the biggest issue, speaking of his weaknesses, it says closeouts is not ideal. It says, while he's in the 80th or higher percentile in other defensive situations, such as pick and rolls, post-ups, and isolation, Harden is in the 56th percentile on closeouts. It says, this can be a misleading stat because often the player closest to a wide-open shooter is considered the primary defender, and therefore the made basket goes against him. But it does say sometimes he doesn't even make an effort to close out on his man. So...
56% is about average, though, right?
Well,
it's slightly above average because I'm guessing 50% would be average.
Yeah.
If you're talking about the percentile. So,
yeah. It says if you're looking for an unsustainable anomaly in Harden's incredible defensive numbers, this could be it. Right now, the players Harden guards are averaging 0.889 points per possession on unguarded catch and shoot attempts, shooting just 41 of 141. League average is about 1.161 points, so he's almost half. But it says, so over the course of the season, Harden's opponents might start to make more open shots, which means so far they're missing open shots where he's the closest defender but not in range to actually defend.
But see, isn't that meaningless? If the guy's open, then that means he's open. It doesn't matter who's near him.
That's what these numbers are saying.
But you shouldn't be giving him a positive for that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think statistics can be used any way you want to use them. You can pull whatever stat you want to try to prove somebody's good or somebody sucks, and that's what people do, right? So, I mean, I'm sure they're legitimate, but
I don't think James Harden is a crappy defender anymore.
No, he's not. Like I said, I think he's average, just slightly above, maybe.
But I don't. Yeah, I'm with you. I do think that there is there's something in these numbers that can't be real.
Chain Smoking Penguin says, all Kool-Aid drinking aside, what are the odds of the Texans missing the playoffs? After they were 90% before last week, according to the stats that you don't need to believe, 79% as of this week, which I think feels high to me.
It does feel high. I mean, obviously the result of this game will go a long way towards.
Yeah, and it's like a poker hand. It's like you might be 82% after the flop, but
right.
Once the turn comes, you might be 10%. I think once this game will turn it either back to 90 or down to 50. So,
One other thing we didn't mention earlier was the Willie Taggart hiring. Florida Atlantic.
Didn't we talk about that yesterday, too?
Did we?
Yeah, we did.
I don't think we did.
Yeah, we did. We talked about Willie Taggart going back to South Florida.
No, this Florida Atlantic.
Or Florida Atlantic, excuse me. No, I didn't know he went to Florida Atlantic. I thought he was going back to South Florida.
No, we talked about the rumor that he was going to South Florida.
Yeah,
Florida
yeah.
Atlantic
okay.
actually hired
okay.
him.
All right.
His fifth head coaching job, 56-62 overall. South Florida in 2016 had that 10-win season. But he's been at Western Kentucky, Oregon, and Florida State. So 43 years old on his fifth head coaching job. That's probably close to a record.
Well, one of those was his choice to leave Oregon. Which
that's
was,
true.
You know, okay.
Which was probably the best job that he had.
Yeah, and he did not do great there.
He did not. But they weren't going to can him after one season.
You know what?
He did better there than he did at Florida State.
I'm going to say he's going to fail here, and I'll tell you why. How often do we see guys that have really good resumes at these lesser schools? They go to a big school and they fail.
And then they come back.
And they come back and they almost never have success.
Sort of like Charlie Strong did.
Charlie Strong is to me, the poster child for that. He went to Texas and failed, and then he went back to South Florida, took over another guy's kids and had one good season, but then it all fell apart. And I don't think guys forget how to coach, but I do think that there is a stigma when a guy goes back down, drops back down in class to where people say, you know, you kind of failed here. I don't know if it affects recruiting or what, but it just seems to happen a lot. There's a lot of guys that you think can coach. And, you know, you figure, oh, well, he's back at the right level. I thought Charlie Strong was back at the right level for him.
And turned out he wasn't.
No. Rich Rodriguez is another one. I mean, there's a bunch of guys like that. I wonder. I guess I wouldn't want to hire one of those guys once they failed at
some place. So you're saying you don't want to be the next guy to hire Tom Herman?
Right. Yeah.
I can't say I blame you. That's a, the track record's not been great. But we'll find out.
But, you know, again, I think now it seems to me a lot of these guys, that should be their level. And I'm not saying Tom Herman's there yet because I still am not convinced he's going to fail at Texas. But I think we're into that. You're replacing. You get that one move where you replace your assistants first. If things don't get better, I think he could have issues. But you know, I just think once you failed at a big school, like Brady Hoke bouncing around, there's one for you.
Yeah,
I mean he's not even head coach now.
Yeah, I'm not looking for Brady Hoke.
No. But you would think
he failed too miserably.
Let's say you're UTEP.
Okay.
Because you can't win anyway. Well, wouldn't you want a guy who flamed out someplace else?
Probably, because at least he's got a big name. Maybe he could recruit a little bit off of that name. Like maybe a guy like Brady Hoke could say, I was a coach at Michigan.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh.
Yeah, and oh, you yeah? sucked at Michigan.
Yeah, but who knows? Who needs to know that?
Yeah, well, what was your record again, Brady?
Blah, 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 yeah. blah. Records.
Have they not been better under
record schmeckered.
832 says, heading to Nashville this weekend for the game with my wife and her girlfriend. Anyone from the station going to be there out and about?
Cleveland
no. from Cincinnati. No. I actually
would enjoy that trip with your wife and her girlfriend. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah, that sounds fun. I probably will go to Nashville next year. Just this year was London. I like doing one trip a year.
Nashville's a good road trip.
Yeah, it's a good city. Val's never been there, so you know, assuming I'm still alive in a year, I'll probably do it next year. But this year was all about London. So
I think my son's summer World Series tournament, like their end of season tournament, is in Gatlinburg, Tennessee this year, out in the Great Smoky Mountains. And I think we're going to end up driving there. Not ideal.
Mm. Yeah. Although I'm guessing that's not really close to an airport anyway. So by the time you fly there.
I think Knoxville or maybe Asheville, North Carolina would be the closest. Yeah. But it's still not really close. It's in the middle of nowhere.
Somebody mentioned Dennis Franchione. There's another one.
Yeah, pass.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know what it is. I'm sure there's a reason for it. But it sure seems to happen a lot.
Yeah. All right, guys. Got to tell you again about Pajamagram.com. Pajamagram's got something for everyone. If you are looking for something sexy, they got it. You're looking for something cozy, they got it. How about the world-famous Hoodie Footy? They got that all over the place. Let's face it. It's hard to get her hot when she's freezing cold. And the Hoodie Footy provides the comfort and the warmth of a hoodie with the coziness of footed pajamas. And that head-to-toe warmth will have her cozy in no time. And guess what? Every Pajamagram, whether you go with sexy or cozy, has free gift packaging, which is brilliant because whatever I wrap, it looks worse than it is. It's just not, she's going to be like, oh, I'm really excited about this gift. They do it upright, and they're backed by a 100% lifetime guarantee. Delivery by Christmas guaranteed, so you're risking nothing. And celebrating 10 years of Hoodie Footy right now. So for a limited time, you can get $10 off an adult size hoodie when you use the code SAVE10 at checkout. Pajamagram.com today. Use code SAVE10. That's Pajamagram.com. SAVE10. And tell them AJ from ESPN 97.5 sent you. And you're standing on the edge, face up, because you're a natural. I've been hot as stone. You gotta be so cold to make it this world. Yeah, you're a...
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Ain't no mercy.
You know, the holidays are here. Maybe you want to give yourself a gift. How about extra money in your pocket? Pay off your credit card balances and save with a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. You can roll your high-interest credit card payments into just one payment at a lower fixed rate. LightStream's credit card consolidation loans have rates as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay. You can save thousands of dollars in interest. Plus, there's absolutely no fees, no application fees, origination fees, transaction fees. There's no prepayment penalties. The application is so quick and easy, you can apply right from your phone. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. So if you've got good credit, check this out. Just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Fred. That's LightStream.com/Fred. LightStream.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit LightStream.com/Fred for more information.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A couple of people asking for hockey plays. There's none tonight. There's only three games. We pushed last night. And fortunately, the second game I was going to play never came off 6.5 because they only scored 5. So a push. That's where we are this week.
Whoosh. I had a crappy day betting hoops yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not the best.
I'll have a couple plays tomorrow night just for the people. So make sure you tune in if you want to play some hockey. We're on a pretty good run still, despite last night's push. That's why that them putting 6.5 on all these games now is difficult, because if they'd put 6.5 on that one, it'd have been a loser. Mm. What do you think about UH's game tonight? Any thoughts on that one?
No. I looked to fade UH, and then I decided, probably a pass for me.
Well, that's why that's what I'm going to do tonight is watch some UH basketball.
There you go.
So, 713-780-ESPN is your number. I had another coaching thing here that I find very interesting.
Interesting coach.
Colorado State has hired Steve Adazio as head coach. I heard they were looking at Butch Jones, which I think would have been, you know, an interesting hire. But then again, you're talking, what do we just talk about? Guys who, although Jones wasn't terrible at Tennessee. I think he did okay. But Adazio?
So is Steve Adazio, does he fit into the model we just talked about? He coached at Temple.
Yes.
Goes to BC, fails, and now goes back to a smaller school?
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, right? Guy who, and oddly enough, he didn't even really have a whole lot of success at Temple. I really don't know how he got the Boston College job. But, I wouldn't say I don't know if he failed at Boston College. I don't know what expectations are at Boston College. He was basically a 6-6, get him to a bowl game guy almost every year. I mean, to me, that's what you should hope for if you're Boston College football. Doug Flutie ain't walking through that door.
Right.
But, I mean, when you get fired, I guess that means you failed.
Yeah.
So he goes to Northern Colorado. But he was never, I don't know. I don't think of him as a great coach. So I don't know. But I will say Colorado State, they've been bad for a long time.
Yeah.
They got to figure something out.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a place where you should be able to win some games. And it's not that hard to recruit there. They've had some decent teams in the past when they've had the right coach. So, and we mentioned Marcus Arroyo to UNLV. We'll see about that. And then App State just promoted from within. So, in case you were curious. Offensive line coach. Here's another thing that never works. Offensive line coaches as head coaches.
Well, I will say this. On a team like App State that's a run, like 90% run team, maybe it works. But I don't know. I mean, didn't Arkansas hire the O-line coach from Georgia?
Yes.
You think that's going to fail too?
Yes.
Well, it is at Arkansas.
And, you know, so. It's hard to tell, hard to say, because you don't really know anything about an offensive line coach.
Yeah.
But I just think, doesn't Lane Kiffin fit that? Not really, because it's not like he failed at USC. I mean, you look at that compared to everybody else.
He failed to, from what their expectations were, certainly. But,
right.
Like I said, I don't think he was ever a disaster at USC. I just think that the expectations were so high, and he didn't play the game. He did, like, when I say that, I mean, he didn't suck up to boosters. He didn't do all the things that you need to do at a program like that. And sometimes that's the biggest part of the job, being a politician. And I always say that was Mack Brown's greatest strength at Texas, was every booster loved Mack. Everybody loved Mack on that campus. Everybody who gave money to that school loved Mack. Lane Kiffin couldn't say that.
No.
So he obviously didn't make any friends at Tennessee. So he's just like, Lane Kiffin's what I like to call a bridge burner. Wherever he goes, he's just like, light that mug on fire and walk away. Like, he's the guy in an action film.
He's never going to be any place more than 3 years.
No. And he's the guy in the action film walking away when the explosion goes off behind him, and he just keeps walking. He doesn't even look back. That's Lane Kiffin at every college football program. Now, you can win some games before he blows it up. Florida Atlantic. Hey, there you go. But now you got Willie Taggart.
Good luck.
Lane Kiffin, better coach than Willie Taggart. Write that down in your notebook.
Yeah, probably so. Do you guys ever bet on basketball? I never have you hear any picks for basketball. AJ bets college basketball like a fiend.
Yeah.
And he gives out free plays and lots of picks on pregame. If you mean NBA, no.
Nope, neither one of us do.
No interest whatsoever.
It's bad. So. It's bad for business.
Yeah, and believe me, there's no way you can handicap all this stuff and be good at it. I mean, you got to pick something that you're good at. I do very well with hockey, and I do very well with college football and NFL, so that's my primary focus. But I don't, you know, it does take work, and I have no interest in putting the effort that it would take into
I have in the past attempted to handicap NBA and Major League Baseball, and I'm just not that good at it, so I stopped. Like, that's the thing about betting. Once you do it for a while and you don't win, like, it's one thing to chalk it up as, oh, I had a down season. I've had down seasons in you know, the sports that I bet before. In college hoops, I've had a down year. In college football, I've had a down year. NFL, I've had a down year. But once you start to have, like, you start to realize, hey, I almost never win over the course of a year. That's like, oh, maybe I'm going to get out of this business because it's no good for me.
Yeah. Somebody says Les Miles was an OL coach, then 3 years at OC before being... He had 3 years at OC.
That's a difference.
Yeah, the point I'm making, you go directly from offensive line coach to head coach. That rarely works.
Yeah.
And somebody mentioned Mario Cristobal. Mario Cristobal had already been a head coach, so it's not really the same thing. The Arkansas hire is exactly what we're talking about.
Right.
So...
All right, I got to tell you guys about Hoops, ProDunkHoops.com. Dude, I can't even tell you how nice it is having the hoop out in front of my house now because my kids are outside all the time. They're not bothering me. They're not using up my PlayStation. They're not watching the TV. I'm able to do what I want to do because my kids are outside playing, and they're not, you know, melting their brains with video games and nonsense. It's good to have them out, and man, everybody on my street is like, dude, where'd you get this goal from? Pro Dunk Hoops, the best goals on the market. That is the thickest steel of any goal on the market, 75% thicker than what you can get in the stores. And a tempered glass backboard so strong, they guarantee if it breaks for cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version if you want that. They've got all the accessories that go along with it. It's just a great product. Check it out now. ProDunkHoops.com, ProDunkHoops.com, or give them a call, 281-351-9822 for Pro Dunk Hoops.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So I have an update for you on the...
Give it to me.
The reporter who got slapped on the butt during the 10K Savannah Bridge Run race in Savannah, Georgia. The man has been identified.
He's like a youth pastor.
Yeah, I know. It's like it's you read his background and you're like, there's no way, right? He's 43 years old, married, has daughters, works as a salesman. He's a youth minister at his church. He also has been a Boy Scouts of America scout leader since 1987. It's like, oh man, if you're going to draw up somebody to do this, this would not be the guy. And his lawyer's been issuing statements on his client's behalf, calling him a loving husband and father who is very active in his community, and he is working with those involved to correct the situation.
Who's saying that? His lawyer or his wife?
His lawyer. Who's involved? You! he said, I was caught up in the moment. I was getting ready to bring my hands up to wave to the camera to the audience. There was a misjudge in character and decision-making. I touched her back. I did not know exactly where I touched. You bull bleep. Dude. Perv. It's always the ones that you
least expect.
Yeah. So just an update for you. And a couple things from Texas. I have a theory on Houston sports after living in Philadelphia and San Antonio. Teams get away with mediocrity because fans don't enthusiastically demand more. Thoughts. First off, San Antonio is not a real comp because there's only one team there and they've been good for so long. Philadelphia is a different animal. I mean, I think any city, especially East Coast cities where people grew up with teams, are a lot more demanding. But fans can demand what they want. It really doesn't mean anything. Yeah. You don't have a lot of power other than not going to the games. And is anybody really going to do that? So, squeezing a call.
Let's do it.
Tony, what's up?
Sports guys, how are you?
We're doing sports, man.
Hey, I just want to ask, what are the odds that John Jones actually loses when he comes to fighting here in February? And what are the odds that you – sorry, this is a two-part question. What are the odds that USC is one of the dumbest programs for letting Ed Orgeron go? I'll hang up and listen.
I don't know. Like, the thing about Ed Orgeron
– Well, did you see the story about why they did it?
No.
Well, that I think that's his question. They didn't like the way he talked.
Oh, well, that's pretty dumb.
That's a dumb reason. It really is.
It is. But we can't – okay, I'll just ask you the question straight up. Do you think Ed Orgeron's a really good head coach?
I think Ed Orgeron's a terrific recruiter who has – who's well, and part of being a good head coach is getting the right assistants.
Yeah.
I think he's done a good job of that. Do I think he's this brilliant X's and O's guy?
No.
But I think he's got a couple brilliant X and O guys working for him.
And I will say there is something, too, if you're the head coach at USC, talking the way he talks, maybe it's, I mean, when you think about how important recruiting is, this isn't Louisiana or Mississippi where you can walk into a living room and talk like
that.
But
you thought enough to hire him to recruit for you. I mean, he was one of their top recruiters.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's silly. And I will
but
say,
he was a garbage head coach at Ole Miss.
He was. You know who I think he is? He's Gene Chizik. And he may win a national title this year. And I think it's going to have as much to do with Brady and the offense.
Brady and Burrow.
Yeah, as it does him. But do you think LSU fans going to care?
No, no one's going to care. No one should care.
You'll take it. Just like Auburn fans not throwing that one back.
Nope.
And then he also asked, what are the odds Jones loses?
See,
I remembered the first part.
Yeah, good job. It's highly unlikely. I mean, I think he opened it like a minus 450 favorite. But, you know, Dominic Reyes is one of these dudes who he hits hard. And if he can land, he can change fights. But this is obviously a massive, massive step up in competition for him. And, you know, he's not gonna be able to destroy John Jones like he did Chris Weidman, certainly. It's an interesting matchup to me. It may be a little too much too soon, but, you know, John Jones has kind of cleared out that division. So I don't know who should be next.
Mont says, weird because what Fred is saying right in football, but NCAA basketball, basketball for some reason, it doesn't matter. If guy can coach, he usually winds up dropping back down. He usually wins again.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know why it's so weird in football. And how dare you make fun of the way Ed Orgeron talks? Don't you remember that great
appearance? I didn't make fun of it.
Don't you remember that great movie appearance he had in The Blind Side? I mean, the man's an actor. And as an actor, how can you make fun of his voice?
Did he say, when he was at Ole Miss, did he say, go Rebs or go Rebels?
I'm sure he did.
Go Rebels. Go Trojans. I don't remember him saying go Trojans.
Mm. I don't really remember USC much.
But no.
Yeah. Well, I guess some of you guys missed it. I don't have a hockey play tonight, so I keep getting asked.
It's funny that, Orgeron was a guy who took over for Lane Kiffin when he got fired. So yeah. It kind of ties back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, which is funny. But
yeah.
Go Trojans.
Well, and that's the thing. It's hard to say with an interim coach. And he did a really good job.
Yeah.
But they obviously, although, I mean, it's not like they.
And who did they hired Sarkisian instead?
Yeah, they hired Sarkisian, which at the time
seemed like a good move.
Yeah.
Now, not so much.
Yeah, and I'm also having people ask me if I found out what's happened with the Stars coach. I have not. I have had a couple people that I know there reach out, and I don't trust what I'm hearing enough to
put it back out.
Yeah, so until I get it confirmed from another source.
All right, I got to tell you what's going on at Carbot, guys. This is exciting stuff. If you want to go to the big game at the end of the college football season, you got a chance to do it out at Carbot. First attempt tomorrow from 6 to 9 p.m. You can go out there to the beer garden at Carbot and kick a field goal. If you make it, they're going to drop your name in a hat. And they're going to draw a name. They've got four dates to do it, December 12th, December 19th, December 14th, December 21st. So they're going to find a date that works for you. You kick the field goal. They drop your name in a hat. If they draw your name out of that hat, you get a chance to kick a field goal at the Academy Sports and Outdoors Texas Bowl at NRG on December 27th. You make the kick that day, boom, you win. You're off to the game, just like that. Must be 21 years old to win. Going to be a really cool competition that they're doing. So head on out to Carbot, one of those four dates, and give it a try. Follow Carbot on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Find out everything going on at the brewery, everything at the restaurant, and everything in the concert series, and find out what's going on with this field goal kicking contest. And when you're out and about this week, ask your bartender to please make it a Carbot. Ain't good enough, guy. Just always so puff, guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
May I have everyone's attention?
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. World-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius of the Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event will take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater, thanks to St. Luke's Music with Friends, Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30, includes light bites both before and after Goodall's presentation. Tickets are on sale at sportsmap.com. Use promo code ESPN to get 20% off your general admission tickets. And you're running out of time, and this is the best deal you're going to get. So go jump on it. All right, let's wrap the show up the way we do every Wednesday with famous deaths. And in 1791, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Rock Me Amadeus. That song was so awful. Especially when the guy's narrating at the end. He goes, in December 1791, Mozart died. He was 35 years old. Roy Orbison, massive heart attack at the age of 52. Otis Redding, dead in a plane crash at 26. That's not a good run.
No.
And maybe he shouldn't have spent so much time sitting on the dock at the bay wasting time because he didn't have a lot of it. Your sports figures, almost all of them have nicknames. Shoeless Joe Jackson, Dandy Don Meredith, Pete Rozelle doesn't have one, John Hot Rod Williams, Honus Wagner, dead at 81 in 1955, famous because apparently his card is worth a bunch. All right, let's see, political figures. Jefferson Davis, dead at 81 in 1889.
Build a statue.
All right, let's go to our inventors. 1896, Alfred Nobel. He did not win the Nobel Prize, though. He just found it. Dead at 63. Invented dynamite.
Oh, that's a good one. That's not peaceful.
No, no. It's probably not why you deserve a Nobel Prize, but... Okay, here's one for you. If you saw Shawshank Redemption, you would know him as Alexandre Dumbass. But actually, Dumois... who wrote The Count of Monte Cristo, dead at 68 in 1870. Let's see what else we got. Well, none of these are interesting. Let's jump to the best deaths, because this is a pretty damn good collection of best deaths, I must say. 2013, Nelson Mandela, dead at 95. Hell of a good run. December 7th, over 2,400 Americans killed at the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Damn.
Have you ever been to the memorial there?
I've not.
No, I've not either. I need to.
I've never been to Hawaii.
I've got to get that checked off my list here before I die.
It's too far away.
Because, you know, I could easily be on this list next week. December 8th, 1980, John Lennon.
Oh,
shot and
no.
Murdered at the age of 40. Another.
A genius.
He was a genius. And
I mean, that. I think that guy who killed him is, I mean, he's constantly up for parole.
I wouldn't let his ass
that
out.
Mark David Chapman, he's always going up for parole.
Yeah, well.
I don't think he's out.
He killed an international treasure. I hope he stays in there forever. Speaking of,
he's been denied 10 times for parole.
Yeah, just keep rejecting him. Not today. Here's another one. Dimebag Daryl Abbott.
Ugh.
Shot and killed by a crazed fan while performing on
What's
stage.
What's up with crazed fans killing musicians this week?
I don't know, man. I love me some Dimebag. Love me some Pantera. That one sucked. John Glenn, American astronaut, died in 2016 at the age of 95.
Good run.
That's a hell of a run.
Especially for someone who goes to space.
And finally, certainly one of my top two favorite comedians of all time, Richard Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
Dead at the age of 65. And actually,
who's the other guy in your top two?
Sam Kinison.
Okay.
Who died way too young also.
Yes.
But I'd say Pryor's probably my favorite.
I think he's mine too.
And really, he was one of the first ones that was I was watching. That I got to watch on like those HBO specials, and they were so funny. And then he was in a lot of his movies were hilarious, Stir Crazy, and there's the one they dressed up like the chickens. He and Gene Wilder did a couple of very funny movies together. Silver Streak was one of them, and then he was in Superman. But just a funny, funny dude. But for all the drugs he did, 65 probably a good run.
Yeah.
All right, here's your porn stars. December 5th, 2010, John Leslie, American pornographic actor and filmmaker, dies from... He was 65, by the way.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go heart failure.
Heart attack. Ding, 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 ding. December 7th, 1995, Christy Lynn died from...
Murdered by a pimp.
About driving 100 miles per hour and crashing.
That'll do it. I'll do it.
Maybe the pimp pissed her off, and that's why she did
it.
So, close. December 9th, 2004, Lee DeMay.
2004?
Yeah.
We already had a car crash. I'm going to go suicide.
Actually, brain cancer.
Damn, that's a bummer.
That's not a good one to put in there. What are you doing? December 10th, 2005, Jasmine Gray.
It has to be suicide.
Car accident. It's that kind of week.
And, no suicidal porn stars this week, huh?
Well... You have one more chance.
Okay.
Actually, you don't tell us how this one died. December 11, 2008, Betty Page, who was considered the queen of pinups. Oh, she died at 85 years old. I'm just going to assume natural causes.
Yeah, probably.
Pneumonia.
Okay, well, you shouldn't have told him.
You should have let me guess.
Yeah.
He just said yeah to your natural causes.
I was going to guess pneumonia.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a point for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, because Aaron screwed that up.
Favorite Richard Pryor movie?
Silver Streak, I think. Or Stir Crazy. They're both good.
Mine is The Toy.
Oh, that's a great one,
It's such a crazy movie that you would never be able to make now. And Rich, I mean, he was also in Blazing Saddles, which you'd never be able to make now. But The Toy is so damn funny to me.
He wasn't in Blazing Saddles.
He was in Blazing Saddles.
What did he play in Blazing Saddles?
I'm pulling it up. It popped up in his IMDb.
I don't remember him in that. Whichever one it was where they were breaking out of prison, I think it was Stir Crazy. I think that's my favorite
one. Oh, a screenplay by Richard Pryor. He wasn't in it.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say.
I just assumed because Gene Wilder was in it, he must have been in it. But
yeah. All right, that's going to wrap it up. Though. Great job, Aaron. Except for on that one part there at the end. Great job, Hoffman.
Steal my thunder.
Yeah. I'm about a solid D today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, stay sports, you bitches.